Well, good morning. Look who it is. You know, I was going to walk away from this podcast. That's what I said at the end of 2023, on the cusp of a new year, 2024. I'm like, I'm just going to focus on my job, on all these other goals that I have. And I think I did what I did with my podcast. And I'm going to go ahead and treat this like any romantic relationship connection that I knew I shouldn't go back to, but I did. And I'm asking myself, do I want to keep going back to this podcast, or should I just hang up the mic a second time in a different way? But a very significant event happened in my life, and I feel like if it wasn't for this person, I wouldn't even have my podcast, if I'm completely honest. And the journey, more so the journey that I've been on in the last, well, my whole life, but more specifically in the last 10 to 15 years. And another topic that is in my mental space outside of this significant event that I'll get to in just a moment is, whose life are you living? Are you really living the life that brings you the most joy, the most alignment, the most satisfaction? And I know we live in a society where you're told you're not supposed to feel all of those things. Well, it's a job. You know, you got to go. And then there's other factors into it, you know, like racism, like discrimination, like making people feel that you're not worthy, that you shouldn't love yourself to the point of full expression and full gratification for life. That's fucked up. You know, like if you're not supposed to be at your fullest expression and satisfaction because society tells you, well, too bad. That doesn't exist, or you shouldn't have it, or all these other excuses. So a lot of the content, audio, visual that I've been absorbing has to do around the topic of, are you living the life that you want to live? Are you being you? You know, are you being authentically you? Most likely not, because most people don't want you to be. Come on. I know that firsthand. Most people don't want you to be your authentic self because usually you're ruffling feathers when you do. Now, can you take accountability and say, hey, maybe I don't have to act this way or say these things in a certain way, but are you being your authentic self in a world that tells you not to be? And the confidence it takes to be your authentic self. Because things change. When you're living in your most authentic zone, aura, things that you used to resonate with don't resonate with you anymore. And therefore, change has to occur in order for the new you to step in and walk your path of this leveling up, this evolved space that you're in. So, yeah, that's kind of what has been on my mind, along with change that's unfolding in my life. And to the significant event, just about, I think, officially a month ago, my mother passed away. And it was very unexpected from my side of things, even though, obviously, death happens to all of us. Nobody lives forever. Nobody's getting out of this experience alive. So it is a part of life, but more so my mother and I's relationship was the sole foundation of my entire life. And I knew that she didn't take good care of her body, so I knew health-wise it was going to happen. But I really thought that she was going to live till her 80s. I really did. That was the number I had in my head. And, you know, so it's been a whirlwind of emotions. But not in the way that I personally think that most people grieve their mother, because my mother and I had a very tumultuous relationship, and anybody that grew up around us knew and felt how destructive our relationship was, whether it was family gatherings, living in the home, being out in public when I used to have temper tantrums as a little girl because I couldn't stand being in the presence of my mother. Like, it's just reality. And so today is also Mother's Day. So again, You know, most people are calling their moms if they're not living in the same state, or FaceTiming, or sending flowers, or going to brunch, or just celebrating the mothers in your life. But my relationship with my mom, like, I never wanted to celebrate Mother's Day. I know it's terrible, but I never did. Father's Day, I was all about it. I was like, Dad, we're celebrating you. You are the shit. But my mom, nah, there was never a card in all the years of my life that ever resonated with me with the relationship that her and I had. Like, cards just, you know what? Somebody needs to. Maybe I should. I don't know. But make greeting cards on significant family members that are not society expectations. And I'm not saying, hey, flat out say thanks for being a shitty mom. Like, no, but there needs to be different choices of words to describe relationships. You know what I mean? Not everybody has that, quote, perfect relationship with their mother or their father. There's a lot of examples of how everybody has a different experience with that. You know, or being a child and that relationship with your mother, father, and vice versa. Like, there's a lot of dynamics. So I woke up this morning and I thought, all right, Mom. It's a whole new meaning now that my mother has died. You know, like, it's a whole new meaning. So where I used to be caught up in that aggressive energy inside, like, oh, it's Mother's Day and I got to call her and I got to pretend that, you know, I have to say these nice things because she's my mother and she gave me life and I got to be grateful for her. And that's just what you do. But usually we would have a fight shortly after that. And so I busted out my journal today and I started writing my thoughts, which inspired this podcast episode. Because of our relationship, this podcast would have never been born. You know, like, if I had a different relationship with my mother, my life would have been different. I'm not saying 100% different, but probably 100% different. Like, if I had the type of relationship that a lot of daughters have with their mothers and mothers with their daughters, the choices I made, the path would have just been different. I could walk into a casino, throw money on a table, and bet on that. And I really, it really took an all-time twist when I moved to Vegas. I think my mother loathed the fact that I lived there because she knew what a shit show I was out there. But I was still responsible. I mean, there were a couple chapters within that chapter that I, you know, lost it all on the table in the slots. No, not literally. But I always held my own, you know, like, I was responsible, but I was irresponsible. But it was Vegas. It was fun. Oh, that was a good chapter. But my mother, I really, you know, if I take accountability, like I preach to do, I think I did give her a lot of anxiety and probably spouted more of her depression. You know, knowing that I was living out there doing God knows what. We didn't have FaceTime back then. There was no FaceTime in 2000. I moved out there 2005, I believe. And so when my stock plummeted, I left in 2007. Yeah, so that's about right. 2005 to about 2007, I think I added to her depression and her anxiety, which was already at an all-time high, self-induced, but I added to it, I know. But it was a wild time. It was a wild time. So, you know, my journey had a lot to do with her. You know, she was my co-pilot, but it was hard. And I don't know if you listening have had a similar relationship with a significant parent figure or guardian in your life, but we couldn't be in the same room, and people knew that. We could not be in the same room together for longer, I really want to say, than like 10 to 15 minutes. And I know I would get agitated, and then she would get agitated that I'm getting agitated. Well, I'm your mother, and we didn't know how to have a relationship with each other because it was destroyed from youth to teenage years to when Amber turns 21, or actually before that, when I turned 19 and I was going to Canada and I was partying with my friends because we were legal there. Like, I could tell you the chapters where it just was destroyed. So by the time, you know, I was fully into my radio career and I was more focused and I was being responsible, it was hard because I always felt like she never saw me outside of those chapters. She could never fully see me in my strength, in my evolution, in my healing. And so it was always a teacher for me, because I knew if she could get a reactionary emotion out of me, I still need to do the work. And then I'd get pissed. God damn it. Like, I just was in therapy sessions over this. I've done exercises. I've vented to friends. I've journaled. I've channeled it. And she still can get a rise out of me. And matter of fact, you know, it's bittersweet. But again, thanks to a longtime family friend, she reminded me, who has known my mother since she was, I think, 3 years old. That's how far back they went. She told me after my mom passed, this was your journey with her. There's no way it could have been any different. Like, yeah, we could have tried. We could have sat down maybe in therapy sessions together, but neither of us wanted to do that. So this was our path. And that gave me a sense of peace and acceptance with her death and in our relationship after speaking with her. And I love you, Rosalie. Little shout out to you. So our last conversation was, I had moved to New York City. I updated her, you know, because she's like, what are you up to? So told her I moved. And I was going to Ellis Island because I wanted to physically be there to celebrate my grandmother. You know, this is where she got her start, in New York City, Ellis Island. And then she ended up settling into Detroit. But this is where she got her start. So I was hoping that we could have a good conversation, talk about information and like asking her things. But immediately we started fighting, like probably 90 seconds into the call, because it was my mother's opportunity to tell me what I was lacking. And then I would turn around, get emotionally reactive still, and tell her what she was doing wrong. And, you know, just our conversation and how, again, I found myself where my family doesn't get me and she never could understand or see me. And I had learned not to point the finger at her anymore, even as mad or frustrated as I would get. She just was incapable of seeing that. And I understand that, because it was hard for her to cultivate peace, to understand things. But I'm grateful that we did have conversations in the last few years where I was able to ask her direct questions and receive direct answers, and giving her the space to answer in her most authentic way she could to the questions I asked her. And that was enough for me, you know? And they were confirming answers and bittersweet. You know what I mean? Bittersweet. And those are conversations that her and I had. So again, bringing it back to Mother's Day, and it's been a energetically whirlwind last month. And it's a whole new meaning now that my mother has passed, going from dreading this day for many years because I could never find a card that meant the type of relationship her and I had. It felt fake. But now it's different because she's no longer here to have those arguments or to talk it out or ask questions or do the eye roll when a text would come through with a long story. Typically what I'm doing wrong, how I'm not normal for not wanting to have a relationship with my family or her, you know. But what I am at peace with, no matter who understands or agrees with it, is I have to be me in my mourning process. And that's perfectly okay. Just like somebody else in their interaction with her or with any loss that you experience, you have to deal with your mourning process the way that feels natural to you. And that's perfectly okay. And I know it's still challenging in 2024 to be authentically you, because we have to wear masks. You know what I mean? Like, in the job world, the career world, the professional world, the business world, whatever category you fit into as far as making money, when you're at the mercy of other people giving you a paycheck to survive in this human experience, or if you are hardworking and passionate and business-minded, like to have your own company, brand, whatever, and you're able to self-sufficiently support yourself, but you still got to get money from other people. You know what I mean? So it is a give and take. It's a dance. It's a give and take. And so we have to, on some level, wear like a you have to wear a mask, because most people don't want you to be at your full power, because what does that look like? How does that change things? How does that make me feel? How does that make me look? You know? And then you get into personal relationships, and you would like to think that you just let your guard down, you take off your masks, and you're just authentic with each other. But I still think you wear masks. I don't know. That obviously has not been a success story for me, so I don't have too much experience with that. But you know, my friend and his lady were just in town. They were traveling to Dubai, and I was like, hell yeah, that's amazing. So I got to play, you know, city hostess with them, hostess, and take them around the city, both as they had an all day layover before flying out later that night. And then when they returned, my friend and I are both Tauruses, so we went out in the city and celebrated our birthday on a Tuesday. I never go out. I don't think I've been out, at least like trying to celebrate something like that, on a Tuesday in New York City. So I was like, oh, I'm sure everything's open. I'm sure like it's going to be fun. Again, expectations versus reality, even in New York. So, but we had a good time. But we were talking a lot about romantic relationships specifically and dating. And so, you know, listening to a guy's perspective and then a fellow woman, we both had similar but yet vastly different perspectives. And I did learn a couple more things about myself where I'm like, okay, I could take accountability. I could see. But one thing that I took away that both of them agreed, oh yeah, that's good. Okay, I could see where that's coming from, is I think a lot of times in current day society and in the whole dating world, as complex as it's become, first of all, I haven't felt it only when I feel like someone's going to make me feel that way or is making me feel that way. I'm not going to feel guilty that I'm self-sufficient. Like, there's a lot of negative energy towards independent women. And I used to be on the negative side of it. Like, oh, I don't need a man. You know, and be like salty about it. You know, like I was really salty for a while. I was like, fuck that. Like, I'm not that. So then I heard something and it changed my perspective of, You don't want to call yourself independent because that means you don't need anybody. That's a bold-faced lie. We all need people. To what degree, I don't know. Everybody's different. But no, I need people. I can't do this alone in this crazy-ass world, even though I like to try to do it alone. I'm going to try. I'm going to fight my way through it. Hell yeah. So I like the self-sufficiency because I still need people. I still need my community support. But I can self-sufficiently handle my own. And I said, I go, I'm not going to I'm not going to be punished for being self-sufficient. Like, if it's the correct romantic relationship, then we will just align and we will make it work and we will meet in the middle and have that discussion. But I'm not going to feel bad that like I can do pretty much most things on my own. Like, you know, like the whole societal roles of the man's supposed to take out the trash. Like I always joke about that, but if you were a single woman, you're just going to sit there and let your trash pile up and be like, God, I can't wait for a man to come take it out. Any day now. And most of the time, women who are in relationships still take out the trash. I know in my current living situation, I'm the sole trash taker. My housemate and I take out the trash most of the time since I've lived here. And I'd rather just do it. So now I understand if that is something down the road, if I get into a relationship and I have to be the sole person that takes out the trash, I'm just going to fucking do it without any complaints because I've been used to doing it. So I think it could be a win when you date a longtime single, self-sufficient woman. Guess what? She's not going to argue with you over who's going to take out the trash because the shit just needs to get done. Because I'm a get shit done type of person. Oh, but yeah, so we had a really good perspective. And then let me tell you, I've been in random conversations with single men and it's its own humorous conversation. I was on my birthday. My friend and I went out to celebrate my birthday and we were sitting next to this guy. He was 45, single. And, you know, you could tell he had a little charm and he was a little jazzy, you know. And so we were talking about my last 4 months of dating situation and conversations. And then he was giving his. And so we would meet in the middle. My friend was sitting there kind of listening, being the mediator. And it was never from my side of things like, oh, you're wrong. Why are you saying that? I'm pissed. Because he kept saying, oh, you don't have to get mad. I'm like, I'm not mad. You're authentically speaking. I'm just giving you a female perspective. But, you know, he basically said, well, it's always going to be a game when you're dating. And I'm like, oh, see, right there. If that is 100% factual information, if it's always going to be a game, then I don't want it. And that's when I like felt a little like negative after that conversation. Cause we were talking for a good, like 45 minutes, the three of us. And he's like, you think I want to be out right now at the bar? I'm 45. And no, I want to be at home with somebody. Well, if you think you're going to always play games with someone, then I guess you're going to be out at the bar for a long fucking time. But it was a little deflating after that. And my friend's like, no, don't be deflated. I'm like, no, seriously, if that's how it is, and that's how it is in current day society, where it's always going to be this little game, and we're always going to have to play a game. No, that's exhausting. And I'll just be single. Like, honestly, I'll just be single and I'll focus on my career and traveling and health and, you know, I'm not doing that. So I think that night I made an agreement with myself. Okay, don't be like that guy. Don't be the female version of that fucking guy. And so, you know, it's been a little bit different, but also more like at peace because there is some level of stress as a single woman in society, because I cannot wear a mask in my romantic relationships. Like, there's boundaries. I still want my private space to a point. Like, let me have my inner world. Let me do my thing. And then I coexist with you and I respect you and support you and love you and all of those happy emotions. But let me be me too. Okay? Let me just hold on to this little inner world. I'm not playing games. Like, no, that's exhausting. That's fucking exhausting. And I think, how many people are out there thinking that same perspective? Both his and mine. Of, oh, it's always going to be game versus, nah, then I'm just going to be single. You know, like, hell no. I like playing games, but only when I can get tickets or money or a gratifying experience. Good old Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, God. That's exactly what I was thinking of when playing games. I'm like, man, I used to love skee ball. Get right in the target. That, like, overachiever. I always wanted to get in the middle hole. I'm like, got it. Oh, God. So anyways, that's what I wanted to come back on the first episode of 2024. And it's funny because I recently received an email about some updates with this app. And they're like, oh, if you don't want to lose your, you know, podcast, blah, 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 sign up with Spotify. And I'm like, look at Spotify. Look at Spotify. Owning shit. Running shit. And I was like, ooh, that was a deciding moment for me. I was at a crossroads. I had a fork in the road because I find myself many times in my life where I'm at a fork in the road. Even yesterday, we'll get back to, I have to spiral off for a minute. Yesterday was the only beautiful day this weekend. And it was still chilly, but it was beautiful for about 3 hours of the day. So I went to Central Park. I rented an e-bike. And I did a big loop, and it was wonderful because I love e-bikes in Central Park because I can build up momentum and just speed through the park. I'm like, yes! But it was beautiful, perfect. Even did some city routes. You know, it takes me back to when I lived in Detroit. I used to love biking around Detroit. So, boom, was able to bike yesterday. And I don't remember where I was going with that. Damn, I had a point. But anyways, we'll go back to the podcast. So, fork in the road. So I was at a fork in the road on my bike. It was two ways to go. And I was like, the anxiety was coming. I could feel it. I could see it ahead. I was like, oh my God, there's a fork in the road. Which way do I go? So I went to the right. The left was right there and it had this nice curve and I could see, I wonder what's behind that. But I looked at the picturesque view of the right. And I was like, nope, I'm going to go that way. That looks pretty. So I took the right. And that's just a surface layer of the forks on the road that I've had in my life. So I was at a fork in the road with the podcast changeover. I was like, ooh, do I want to just let it be and have those years be what it was? Or do I at least want to get this all situated so I still have access to it? And I couldn't let it go. I was like, nope, we're going to do the work. We're going to update everything. We're going to get it all changed over because it's still my baby. And I can't let it go. And I did not have any intentions of recording an episode. But then I woke up this morning and I'm surprisingly feeling good. You know, I'm not like, I cried last night a little bit, but not tonight or today. And then I started journaling and I just felt it. I was like, no. I need to do an episode to celebrate the life of my mother, as tumultuous as it was, and the chaos that she felt most of her life internally, and then her more peaceful years later on in life. But she went through a lot. She really did. And I eventually started to understand why we didn't have the relationship like society expects you to have with your mother. And why we had those chaotic years together. And why just everything. I mean, and here's a little background. I was unexpected. I think I might have said that before in these episodes, but I was not planned whatsoever. There is a 9 and 10 year difference between my brothers and I. So I was completely expected. 9 years later, boop, there goes Amber coming into the world. She's ready. So I think there was a little bit, you know, you got to think about where you would be at mentally, not like in knowing how the conversations her and I had and knowing where my parents were at that time. Like, it was just, it was unexpected. I was unexpected. Yes, I was. So, yeah. So today I want to honor the life of my mother, the fact that she gave me life. She brought me into this crazy experience. And I've been able to live out my journey so far, for the most part, you know, the way that has felt natural and authentic to me. And I was listening to something about the, you know, imaginary line in society of like, checking off the boxes, get married, get a house, have kids, get a dog, that picket fence life. And then when you reach all of those things, people start to get depressed and anxious and unsatisfied and was it all worth it? But then I have a different perspective, and I thought this was interesting because I've been able to go after the things that I want. But my mind has told me, but you're not checking off the society boxes, Amber. You're single. You're not married. You don't have kids. You don't own a house. You don't have a picket fence. You know, you don't have the dog or the you know, chasing after the 4-year college degree. Like, you're a failure. But that's because I never wanted that shit. So then I think about all the years that I was in my head, like, I'm not living the society timeline. I never wanted it. So why am I mad about it? I don't know. Now I'm pissed about that. No. So I had to regroup. I had to refocus after listening to that and saying there are people just like me out there who have been unsatisfied, beating up on themselves, asking, what am I doing with my life? What was this all for? But we're in two different perspectives because you chased the box checking and I didn't. But the ultimate outcome was similar. So what does that show me as a analytical mind that I am? That you just have to do what feels natural and what brings you the most joy and alignment. Every day is not going to be perfect, but you are happy with your life. You are not trying to fit into the mold of what somebody else expects you to be or what a collective expects you to be. You are living your life in a way that makes you happy. And I think that that is a rewarding human journey. You know? So that's where I'm going to put a pin in it. If you are a mother or you are an animal mom, a spiritual mom, whatever, happy Mother's Day. You know, like, you're amazing for bringing somebody into this world and putting your body through that and spending your TLC or not being an absent mother. I don't know the situation, but you brought life into this world or you've stepped in and had maternal energy for somebody. Like, that's a beautiful thing. So happy Mother's Day. Thanks for listening and supporting my podcast. And until next time, be kind to yourself and be kind to others. Peace and love.